Anyone who has read Richard Preston's work of horror, The Hot Zone, knows that Ebola stories center on the virus's astonishing lethality and the grisly manner by which people die, namely, bleeding from every orifice. That story has been written, however, and Inferno tries to offer a different perspective and, on occasion, correct some misunderstandings that Preston created, so that the word Ebola conjures up more than mere fear, but rather a tragedy created by the virus. One that affected real humans whose lives have been thrown into chaos because of the contagion. In The Hot Zone, the central character is the virus itself, while the people it infects are mere props. Most of the news coverage of the outbreak, especially the television news coverage, followed Preston's lead in this respect. Inferno, by contrast, puts the spotlight on people, principally the Liberians infected by the virus, but also others who work to see it halted. I'm not interested in engendering fear, but instead a sense of loss, for there was much of that as a result of the epidemic. To understand the contours of that loss, to feel that loss, is to veer away from the vicarious thrills that much of the news coverage encouraged, even if it was mostly subconscious. I have studied lethal viruses and bacteria for most of my adult life, and I can assure you, there are a good many other infections whose reputations should be equally notorious as Ebola's. The Nipah and Hendra viruses, for instance, cause encephalitis, infection of the brain, can be lethal in up to one-third of cases, and have been associated with person-to-person transmission. The movie Contagion was based on an imagined version of an easily transmissible Nipah variant. Plague still continues to plague civilization, as it were, and we may well hover on the verge of a massive outbreak of plague's agent, Yersinia pestis. The last episode of airborne plague occurred in Surat, India, a city of 4 million people in 1994. Then there is SARS, perhaps the one virus that I find truly frightening, as it is about as lethal as Ebola, but spreads much more efficiently, since it is a respiratory virus whose transmission dynamics are not much different from those of the common cold. I could go on like this quite happily for some time, and you would lose sleep for a night or two. The question, then, is why does Ebola occupy the starring role among the cast of lethal viruses? I would argue that the features that make Ebola so terrifying are plainly visible in the news coverage devoted to outbreaks over the years, as well as nonfiction books like The Hot Zone, and even fictional accounts based on the virus, like the 1995 box office hit Outbreak. They revolve around three basic themes: blood, facelessness, and of course, Africa, a region about which Westerners in particular have much angst and guilt. In short, it is the legacy of slavery that lurks beneath the surface of the anxieties unleashed by Ebola. The profound otherness of Africa and its people is a direct consequence of European government policies that lasted generations on end, which led to unspeakable acts that debased the humanity of all the participants. But the termination of slavery as an institution did not end the mutual mistrust, and the iniquities of our European forebears have been visited upon us in countless ways. They need not be literal forebears either, for we have all inherited their model of government, as well as their notions about liberty, despite the concept of liberty resting on the backs of the millions of African slaves without whom the building of the modern world might not have taken place. The sins of slavery have been ingrained into our consciousness, even without our consent, and continue to make discussions of race so discomforting today. Richard Preston described Ebola in one metaphorical fugue as the revenge of the rainforest, but what makes The Hot Zone in part so disturbing is that the virus is just as easily understood as Africa's revenge, and all the baggage that goes with it, the ultimate payback for 500 years of barbarity. Inferno starts with the assumption that one must rob the virus of its metaphorical power, which requires calling attention to the institution of sub-Saharan African slavery and the changes it wrought on at least three continents. While I am not writing a book about slavery, one cannot truly grasp something essential about the outbreak unless one begins to come to terms with it, and in particular, how slavery has seeped into the American worldview in ways about which we are often only dimly aware. To talk about the meaning of the outbreak is to shine a flashlight on the nearly imperceptible threads that link Westerners, West Africans, and a good many other people to the decisions made by, say, ministers who lived in London or Amsterdam 400 years ago.